Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Matthew from Pappy's here. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. A little quick thing before we begin. It's an interesting episode this month. We recorded it at the Underbelly Festival on the South Bank in London. And as you can hear, it was a very fun show. We had two great guests, Laura Lex and Tom Allen. The games were very fun. The audience were incredibly fun. However, very, very early on in the actual recording of the podcast, we did a little bit of preamble before that, but once we started recording the podcast, very, very early on, they gave us the red light at the back to suggest that we had run out of time for our allotted slot. And if you run out of time and you go over your time, you get fined. But we, well, you'll hear as the episode goes on, you'll hear we really, yeah, it was touch and go for us. Enjoy it. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, there's always the Twitter, there's the Patreon as well, if you would like to support us in our ventures, because, you know, time is money and we're running out of time, as you can hear from this episode. Find us on Facebook, all the usual places. And if you are in or around Wales this weekend, then we are also going to be in or around Wales. We're going to be the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival doing Flatshare Slamdown at 3:15, so find all the details on our Twitter. I'm sure it's all there, at Pappy's Tweets. But most of all, sit back, relax, and take a little bit of time to enjoy this episode of Flatshare Slamdown.
Tom, Ben!
What is it, Matthew?
Yeah, what is it, baby? Oh, thank you, baby. Firstly, I love being called baby, so keep that up. Secondly, one of you two has got to chop all of this loose firewood.
Well, listen, Matthew, it's not going to be me.
No?
I'm not going to chop the wood, let me tell you. I've got a terrible experience about that. A few years ago, someone sent me three tools that you use to chop down trees. One from Iraq, one from Iran, and one from North Korea. I thought, lovely, I'll put them up in my house. Those axes fell off the wall and killed three people. Turns out, it was the axes of evil.
Oh, my God.
It's going back.
It takes us right back, doesn't it?
That's right back to 2002. What a trip.
It's great. Have you got any sex document refs you want to be dropping?
That's my nickname for your script.
It is, actually. It's incredibly so. Clarky, what about you?
Well, normally, Matthew, you know me, I do a crass joke now about getting wood or...
Yes.
Get my chopper out or...
Yes.
Drilling a hole in a piece of wood and fucking it. But according to my brother, I'm a libtard cuck, and so I can't fuck anything, let alone a piece of wood. Although it does beg the question, how much wood could a wood cuck fuck if a wood cuck could fuck wood?
Well, there is... What's funny about that is exactly what your brother does call
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, he is alt. Well, is anyone going to sell this? We're going to have a
Flash Slamdown!
Flash Slamdown!
Hello and welcome to Flash Slamdown, the panel show that says, I don't want to lose this good thing that I got, because if I do, I will surely lose a lot, cause your logs are better than any logs I know. They're like thunder. Lightning. The axe you're holding is frightening. You better chop some wood. I'm Ocean Landlord Matthew Crosby, we're live! At the Underbelly Festival here on London's fashionable South Bank, as immortalised in the movie Last Chance Harvey. And while they're under my roof, they'll be following my rules. Let's say hello to the attendants. It's Tom Parry and Benedict Clark.
Hello!
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, pals.
Thanks for coming on the show, you guys. Great to have you back.
Lovely to be here in a big tent.
It is a big tent, isn't it? It is a big tent. Now, obviously, you can't chop wood on your own. Who have you brought with you this week? Tom.
Well, listen, Matthew, terrible news. The Jamboree is in danger.
No way.
Yeah, we were voted worst dressed experience of 2019.
They're rating experiences and how well they're dressed.
Yeah, I know. So we've got to sharpen up our act. We've got to look good. So I decided to bring in the most well-dressed man that I know. Mr. Fashion himself. Tom Allen.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Thank you. You are too kind.
True.
Too kind. And I love a jamboree. I love a jamboree, so I don't know why it wasn't on sooner. That Bear Grylls always gets in there before me, doesn't he? The little
Bear Grylls, famed for his jamborees.
Famed
for his jamborees. Now, Mr. Fashion, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Please call me Tom Fashion.
Tom
Fashion.
T-Fashion.
T-Fash.
Hey, T-Fash. I don't mind T-Fash, actually.
T-Fash.
Got a lot of time for T-Fash.
Yeah.
T-Fash, what kind of a flatmate are you? Are you a good flatmate?
I'm tidy.
I believe that.
I love to buff a tap.
T-Fash buffies a tap.
Buff your stainless steel till you can see your face in it. I love to clean a bathroom. I love to get into the nooks and crevices.
I've heard that about you.
I will not stand for a mess. I will not stand for it, okay? But I think that's for everybody's good.
Can I ask you what? Because it sounds like if you're getting into those nooks and crevices,
yes,
what constitutes a mess? So what are you like? What is your absolute like? What will you tolerate?
Well, nothing.
You're one of the least tolerant people I know. In fact, I've always thought I'd be T-Fash.
Yeah,
T-Fascist. That's what they call it.
That's what they call me. I don't like tea bags on the side of the sink. I don't mind a bit of a frying pan being left unwashed up.
Just half of it.
Just I don't like it being there for too long.
Fair enough.
I won't stand for an ironing board left up beyond its use, and I don't like it when a dank sink is left undrained. And don't get me started on leaving a cloth in that or a sponge in that dank water, which some people do.
I know what you mean. Sometimes you forget. You do the washing up and you come down the next morning and you're like, oh, there's a sort of weird film of pesto on water. It's like a sort of orangey
such
film.
Such a bijou algae. Washing up situation.
Just washing up pesto jars. That's all I do. That's all I do.
To put tea lights in.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Not a bad idea if you're getting married. Take a bit of Sackler pesto. Yeah.
What a terrible wedding planner you would be. Here's some pesto jars and some tea lights. Oh, God. T-Fash and his tea lights.
The T-Fash wedding. Yeah. People are going to go for it. Post-Brexit.
I'm not going to have pesto post-Brexit, mate.
Yeah, right. It's just going to be Marmite.
Thank God. Thank God.
Everyone wants a brown glow at their wedding, don't they? That's what they're after. But you just have a sort of weird brown glow over all the tables.
It's very romantic, people tell me.
It's incredibly romantic.
At the weddings that I organise to pay my rent as part of the flat share. I've thought this whole character through.
Because he's nothing like this off stage. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show. Ben, who have you brought along with you this week?
Well, I have brought my Magic the Gathering card playing partner,
Laura Lex.
It's Laura Lex!
No one thought he was going to finish that sentence.
Oh, no. No. Whoa. Least of all Clarky there. Laura, thank you so much for being a guest on our show this week. Now, you are a married person.
Yeah.
Marmite at the wedding?
No.
Which, by the way, is one of Buster's least famous songs. What kind of a flatmate are you?
I'm all right as long as you don't mind listening to my opinions on how you live a lot.
Oh, this is great. Give us...
Like, I'll run the house quite nicely, but you'll hear about everything I've done, you know?
Do you have
that
any...
kind of passive-aggressive...
What are the kind of key unpopular opinions you have?
Oh, I don't know if I'm a twat or my husband is.
Well,
like,
you know what? Let's find out.
I said to him the other day, hey, like, this the fruit's going rotten. Let's eat it. Bless you. And, see, I'm friendly. And then he said, I'll take a banana to work and then just move that banana Anna from the fruit bowl to the hall, and then it's been there for 4 days now.
He didn't say what day he was going to take it to work.
No,
he didn't specify. I'll take it to work at some point over the next 6 months.
I think I'm actually a really annoying housemate because I'm quite anal about some clean stuff, but then I love gardening and I quite often just walk mud through the house and not really notice that, so I think I'm a dick really. But
I'm sorry to have brought your self-esteem down. So I've really paxmaned you here, haven't I? I've sort of weirdly boxed you into a corner and made you... So we've met our contestants, but let's find out who's top of the chops as we play round one.
I packed my axe last night, all right. Got up early, 9 a.m. Them twigs have gotta be dry. If I'm gonna use them.
It's hard, isn't it? So good.
I need that wood so much, but it causes strife. Living in London Zone 3. Ain't got no tree near me. So I wander around looking for things to hack. It's lonely being an urban lumberjack. A bench, a coffee table or wardrobe, I have no fear, 'cause I'm a chopping man. From going to IKEA. No, he's not allowed to go to IKEA.
Slow, isn't it? Slow song.
Do you know what? And all joking aside, he is actually phenomenally talented, Elton John, isn't he? So round one is called Kindle Surprise. I'm going to give each player the title and back cover blurb from a book that I found in my local charity shop, and I would like them to give me three first lines from that novel, one of which will be real, the other two will be made up on the spot. Now the opposite team has to detect for a point which one is the true work of literary genius. If they get it wrong, the point goes to the player. Ben, I'd like you to go first on this one, if that is okay with you. Your book is by your namesake, Ben. Ben Brown, Sand Stealers. War is one hell of a story. I'll read you a bit of the blurb from the back. Danny Lowenstein.
Yes.
Tom's making notes.
You gave me a pen and paper, so I thought I should do something.
You absolutely should.
I just wrote Danny Lowenstein.
We've all written Danny Lowenstein. He's
as well. Yeah.
Tom and Tom are our stenographers for the gig. So Danny
Lowenstein. Just in case I ever have a son. I'm going to call him Danny Lowenstein.
You can't. It's got to be something with at least one of your surnames. Danny Lowenstein Parry.
Danny Lowenstein Parry.
I like it. It's not bad.
What if I got two surnames? What's the Lowenstein? The child will say to you, and you'll say...
No one's going to fuck with you at school, son.
Pretty strong words for a child.
That's right. Because no one fucks with the Jews, right? Danny Lowenstein is a big shot war correspondent with the world at his feet. But when an interview goes wrong and he's ambushed on a lonely road in Iraq, questions are asked. Was it a setup? And was he deliberately sent to his death by one of his own? The tight-knit group of adrenaline-addicted journalists, oh, come off it, who are supposed to be his best friends. Rachel, Becky, Caps and Edwin are the junkies. Together they've been through thick and thin and seen the horrors of war. Yet theirs is also a tangled web.
It's turned into a sitcom. Here's the kooky gang of friends. Becky's here. Tony. They're all in Iraq. What?
It's like Seinfeld meets Bravo 2-0. Yet theirs is also a tangled web of intense relationships and dark rivalries. Could one of them have become Danny's killer? So, spoiler alert, he dies. So, there you go.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Did you just have to show Ben where the first line was?
Listen!
He told me not to read out the page.
He's not tackled them before.
I didn't want to read, like, the ISBN number or something. So, Clarky. Okay.
I'll be busy scribbling down the words, Danny Lowenstein.
We've all got Lowenstein etched into our minds. Clarky, three lines, please.
Okay.
To paraphrase Frank Skinner.
being a thief can be hard.
I love it.
But it depends on what you're stealing. Stealing sand is the hardest. And already, I can feel this job slipping through my fingers.
It's very strong, isn't it? Stealing sand is the hardest. Okay. Let's have another line from Ben Clark. Danny the golden pen of Ben Clark. Or is it the golden pen of Ben Brown?
Danny Lowenstein.
Did anyone make a note of what the main character was called?
Danny Lowenstein had a premonition he would die that day.
Oh. Could be that, couldn't it?
Full stop. Okay. Okay.
Hang on, it's full stop.
No, no, I put full stop in.
Oh, right. Okay.
That, yeah. That's. Yeah, that was me. It's just I did a really good impression of Clarkie's.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, I know. I was just listening.
I'm now Clarkie, doing a Cockney accent. Hola, Clarkie. Yeah, mate.
Get out.
So, right. Let's have a third line from your naughty little face. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Lowenstein! She shouted from the other room. Come in here, you absolute toiler.
Fucking hell.
Oh, God, it's hard.
Oh, it's good.
It's strong. Okay, Tom and Tom, talk us through your thought process.
I immediately, in my head, said, rule out anyone that has Lowenstein in the first line.
No, but...
But now...
If you come up with a character with a name like that...
I mean, you've got to... You've got to stick the goods up front, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to put it in the shop window.
Give the people what they want. Danny Lowenstein.
Danny Lowenstein.
Danny Lowenstein, the Cockney journalist of Iraq.
Are you tempted by stealing sand?
It was so rubbish, wasn't it?
It can't be. It can't be.
It's rude to be mean about someone else's work, isn't it? But that was so rubbish. The falling through your fingers thing.
Well, Ben Brown is not great.
Ben Brown is. What are your thoughts, John Parry?
Is Ben Brown Darren's brother?
Or is it Dan Brown's brother?
Who's
of the Da Vinci Code?
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. Should we go with number two?
Danny Lowenstein knew he would die that day. Yeah, that seems like the sort of thing somebody who wrote a book like that would start a book with.
It's your call.
Oh, don't put me under that sort of pressure. I've just moved in.
Come on, T-Fash.
I've been cleaning the sink all day.
Yeah, sorry about that. Left sorry in. About that pesto.
Yeah, so much pesto. I had to burn it all off with Marmite.
We're going to go with number two.
Number two. Danny Lowenstein knew he would die that day.
Can you read the correct line?
Danny Lowenstein had a premonition he would die.
Yeah!
Well done.
That was well played.
I'm going to give, of course, a point there to Tom and Tom. Such strong work, though, from Clarkie. Well done, mate. You was robbed. Okay, over to Tom Allen.
Shit.
Now, your book is called Love, Lies and Lemon Cake by Sue Watson. It's fun, it's heartbreaking, and it's absolutely bloody hilarious.
My favourite kind of book.
Now, can I tell you, this? You can have this afterwards if you'd like to read it, because it does sound very gripping. Faye Dobson has lost her sparkle. Of course she has, poor old Dobbo.
Fanny who?
What's that?
What's her name?
Faye Dobson.
Faye Dobson.
Not Fanny anyone.
Fanny anyone. No Fanny had lost its sparkle.
Faye Dobson had lost her sparkle. Living on film star fantasies and vague memories of a marriage that once was, she can't help feeling that life is passing her by. She dreams of being whisked to Paris for dinner, making three wishes at the Trevi Fountain and having sex under the stars. That's sex under the stars written in bold quite aggressively. But the wrinkles are multiplying, her husband's passion is for plumbing, and the nearest you'll get to Rome is a takeaway pizza. So, when Faye meets Dan, the gorgeous Australian surfer guy working in the local deli, she can't help but wonder what it would be like to see the world. He's blonde, tanned, 10 years younger, and bakes the most amazing lemon cake. Unlike her husband, Dan actually listens to Faye. His smile makes her feel fizzy inside, and when he smiles, oh my God. But is Faye being silly? What would Dan see in someone like her? And even if he did have feelings for her,
Could she give everything up to be with him? It's a laugh out loud, bittersweet comedy about taking your life back before it's too late. Not my words, the words of whoever wrote this and didn't attribute it to anyone. So... there we go. Faye Dobson in Sue Watson's Love, Lies and Lemon Cake. Now...
is that the first thing I think we should mention is the fact that Watson and... what's her name?
Faye Dobson.
Does sound a bit similar.
Do you think it's sort of semi-autobiographical?
I think it might be based on...
part that. Memoir.
Part memoir, part dream.
Okay. Now,
chapter one, film star fingers and fake bake. The rain dripped down the bathroom window. Oh, another Tuesday.
Nice.
That's not bad, actually.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
It's not
okay.
Bad.
I'd read that book.
I want you. He breathed, sliding his warm hand under my gown and slowly, sensuously, along my thigh.
Do you do audiobooks? Because you should do audiobooks.
Yeah,
I'm doing them right now.
No one's ever made a gown sexy before.
A gown, yeah.
Usually associated with hospitals.
What I liked about it was both quite sexy and also quite football scores on grandstand. Something of that. Sheffield Wednesday, nil. Something of that. Yeah. Just sitting there waiting for Big Brain to start.
Yeah. Oh, those days in the car, yeah, travelling back from Christine and Bob's. You don't know them. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. No, I'm saying Christine. Oh, not today. Not today. I can't be bothered to listen to his whining all over again.
Okay. All very strong. Yes, all very strong. Very plausible. Let's face it, you've got a page turner in you. You really have, Tom.
That sounds rude.
I wish I made a finger, yeah. Ben and Laura, talk us through what you're thinking and feeling at the moment.
I'm feeling very confused. All three of them seem very plausible.
That's oh, not the right. Second one, no.
Okay, we rule out
the
second one.
The second... no. The gown. That is Tom's idea of sexy hetero sex in a kitchen.
You didn't pass, I'm afraid.
No one's using the word thigh and gown in any... The third one, that was some good acting, if it's that one. That's either Tom's played a bloody blinder or it's not that one.
He kind of paused, but I'm leaning towards that one.
He's a sly one, and now he's looking at him, not making eye contact.
He's doing a real poker face.
The first one was Rainy Tuesday.
Yeah.
That could be it, couldn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I don't know. I'm tempted by the third one, but maybe he's reeled me in with his acting.
I'm feeling third as well.
Yeah, let's go third.
Let's go third.
Yeah. You're going for the third one. Could you please read the true first line from Love, Lies and Lemon Cake by Sue Watson?
Chapter one, film star fingers and fake bake. I want you.
You're a better novelist.
I'll tell you now, it actually starts with her fantasizing about shagging Ryan Gosling whilst lying in the bath. So that's how the book starts. So that's where that comes from.
Ooh,
wow. Laura.
We've all done it.
We've all done it.
Tom's dipped back in. So.
Ryan, I shouldn't be here, I said, admiring the way he held his glass and moved his hand around my body at the same time. It can't have been easy, like rubbing your head and patting your stomach in sync.
Oh, very sexy.
I have washing to do, I panted. My kind of woman. Then I have to clean the windows, and then I'm making the tea. He didn't care. He was too wrapped up in lust, as twinkly eyes.
This can't be the podcast. This can't be the podcast.
It should be the podcast.
It should be the podcast.
Yes.
I tell you what, I think the losers have to read my book and the winners get to read that one.
I was hoping for a juicier detail than that, but it looked like Sue actually dragged that out for a bit longer than she needed to.
Classic Watson.
No page turners involved. Okay, so Laura, your turn is Sting's autobiography, Broken Music.
A classic.
It is a classic.
Is that also Clarkie's birthday present?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'll take it.
So, there's no blurb on the back, but I'll tell you what Rolling Stone magazine said about Sting. What a fucking... No, it wasn't that. Get out of the yesterday. No, okay. This remarkably candid memoir is meticulously composed and exquisitely detailed. Sting's gift for prose and reverence for language, nearly equal of his musical gifts, shine on every page. Even when Broken Music addresses the quixotic lifestyle of an aspiring rock and roller, it reads like literature from a more rarefied time, when adults didn't condescend to the vulgarities of pop culture. Ooh. So, it's highbrow.
Sue Watson did.
I'm going to give you the book
here.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Are you a fan of Sting, Laura?
No, but I believe he is in the tale. Thanks, guys.
Why didn't he call it that?
Yeah, that's true. We might find out in the opening line. No spoilers.
Oh, dear. All right. Hello, Sting. Who knew?
Yeah, the first page is just a photograph of him nude. Okay.
I'm so excited.
was that the first line?
Right. 8 hours later, the chafe was really setting in. I ran my hand along her thigh under the gown. That's number one.
That's that tantric.
The chafe.
The chafe was setting in. By the way, are you a fan of the chafe with Bradley Walsh?
Paul Sinha's my favourite chafer.
Absolutely.
It is a winter's night in Rio de Janeiro, 1987. It is raining, and the boulevard in front of the Copacabana Hotel is not pronounced like that. Is deserted. That's number two.
Okay.
Number three. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of nimble fingers must be in want of an instrument.
Oh, he would do that.
Oh, those are, again, three really nice words.
The last two were out of the bag.
Okay.
He's such an arsehole, isn't he? He'd write either of those.
Hey. Sorry, how dare you?
Fields of Gold.
Not
do people not like Sting?
I like him.
Clarky likes him. He's all right.
Fan of his music.
Well, let's
he's
find out.
He's clearly a bit of an arsehole, but I'm a fan of his music.
He's a little po-faced, I think, is what we've established. Okay. But which of those lines was written
but
by...
But he's a fan of the podcast.
He loves the podcast. Thanks for joining the Patreon, but come on, mate, $2 a month. you're making a bit of coin. Tom, what are you thinking about Sting, and what do you think about Laura's three lines?
Oh, I thought the third one was especially great.
Yeah. The Rio de Janeiro one.
I thought
1987.
What year was it?
1987.
1987.
87. It's the year he was born.
But the third one I thought was so great because it was the sort of thing that he would write. It was...
Yeah.
It was suitably pompous.
Yeah.
Emulating Jane Austen.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that he kind of likes, like, Quentin Crisp and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, should we go for it? Let's go for number three.
I think it's number three.
Would you read the first line, please, Laura Lex?
It is a winter's night in Rio de Janeiro, 1987.
So the point goes to Laura. I'm afraid no points to Tom and Tom.
So good.
It is good. Now, Tom Parry, it's your turn. And I couldn't believe it when I saw this in the charity shop. Rogue Lawyer by John Grisham. Sometimes you have to fight dirty to get clean. okay, so...
I've got a feeling they're going to be some really long first lines.
Sebastian Rudd takes the cases no one else wants. The drug-addled punk accused of murdering two little girls. A crime lord on death row. A homeowner accused of shooting at a SWAT team.
Love it. Come on, Rudd, you dirty bastard, let's do it.
Oh, boy,
SWAT team, find a SWAT team. Get off my fucking lawn, blam, 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 blam.
Get off my lawn.
My house, my rules, blam, 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 blam.
It was dark, I was going to the toilet, I didn't know they were all being there.
I love that your status as to whether you rent or own is important if you shoot up a SWAT team.
I am a homeowner. That's okay.
Check it up with the bank.
Rudd believes that every person accused of a crime is entitled to a fair trial, even if he has to cheat to get one. He antagonises people from both sides of the law, and his last office was firebombed.
Yes.
Oh God, I know why I find that funny. I tell you my favourite comedy show at the moment, The News. His last office was firebombed either by drug dealers or cops. He doesn't know or care which.
He doesn't care. Firebomb's a firebomb.
Yeah, exactly. You were all arseholes to me. But things are about to get even more complicated for Sebastian. Oh my God, this is a name you're going to enjoy. Arch Swanger.
I mean, I'd love it.
That's five swangers out of five for that one. Arch Swanger is the prime suspect in the abduction and presumed murder of a 21-year-old Juliana Kemp, the daughter of Assistant Chief of Police. When Swanger asked Sebastian to represent him, he let Sebastian in on a terrible secret, one that will threaten everything Sebastian holds dear. Wowee. Arch Swanger. Arch Swanger. So, Rogue Lawyer, there's your book.
Beautiful.
Tom, could we have three lines, please? Oh, my God, I can't wait for this.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Forgive me my tardiness, but I had myself a hearty lunch. My name is Mr. Sebastian Rudd. Full stop.
Very good.
Full stop.
Very good, Tom.
Okay, believable, plausible first line from Tom, from John. What's the second one?
You ain't gonna meet many lawyers whose office is a phone booth. And whose waiting room is a roadside cafe. But I guess I'm not an ordinary lawyer. My name is Sebastian Rudd.
Okay. Full stop?
Full stop.
Full stop. My apologies. Let's hear the third and final line from Rogue Lawyer.
My name is Sebastian Rudd. Though I'm a well-known lawyer, you'll not see my name on billboards, on bus benches, or in the yellow pages. Full stop.
Full stop. Very, very strong. Very, very strong three lines there. All intensely believable, all too believable. But the man has studied the character. He's lived it. What are we thinking, Laura and Ben?
Jesus creepers. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah. It is hard.
I want to rule out the first one.
Is it set in America?
What a twist in the tale if it weren't.
Well, just do they have yellow pages there, my question.
I wondered if they have yellow pages.
I would like them.
They do.
They do. Thanks, audience.
Thanks, mate.
I quite liked the middle one, but we were wrong last time, so now I don't trust us.
I like the middle one.
Yeah, me too. Should we just have that one and have a nice time?
Yeah, right. I think I think if he did it, he deserves the
He's
point.
He did a little eye flicking up. He was really looking a different way on the last one.
I'm going to have to hurry you, because I think... Is that red line mean we've run out of time? Because... I mean, we're on round one.
Oh, my God.
I literally don't know what to say. It's quarter past. We've got 75 minutes. We can cram the last half of the show in 15.
There's four rounds.
I'm so sorry. It's just we were having so much fun, and you just run such a nice venue here, guys.
I started reading. I love that you're talking to the red light.
I'm to the red light. Is it Sauron?
Please, London Eye. Let us remain.
Well, we'll go middle one then for expediency.
Okay. Yeah. Which one are you going for? Which one?
The phone booth in a cafe.
Yeah.
The phone booth. Oh yeah. The office in a phone booth. Let's hear the first line, please.
My name is Sebastian Rudd, and though I'm a well-known lawyer, you'll not see my name on billboards, on bus benches, or in the yellow pages. I'm on CFAX.
So Tom Parry gets the point there. At the end of that show, by which I mean round...
It's a lock-in, guys. Tie yourselves to your seats. They're going to have to throw us out.
At the end of that round...
Tom on three and Birthday Ben and Laura on one.
OK, so Tom and Tom are in the lead, but Ben and Laura aren't quite for the chop just yet. There's still everything to play for as we hurtle quick as we can.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
It's a round two. It's flat games.
Let's play together.
Games.
Let's play forever. Roll the dice, spin that thing. Put that there.
Do as you're told.
Games. If you lose, you get nothing.
Games.
If you win, you get gold.
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 We ain't leaving.
We haven't got time. It is Flat Games, where this time we'll be playing our version of Red Dead Redemption, which we're calling Red Dead Remention. Here's how it works. Each team has 2 minutes, and it really has to be 2 minutes, to list as many things that are red or dead as they can. Player one says something red. Player two then says something dead. Then player one has to re-mention both those things and make a connection between the two of them. Okay? So if player one said blood and player two said Dracula... Sorry, that's a bad example. There's going to be a...
If player one said the light that they've just flashed at us...
Yes.
And player two said our chances of finishing the show tonight...
There is absolutely no connection to those two things. The opposite team can challenge if they don't agree with the connection. 1 point for each red or dead thing, 2 points for each successful connection. Is somebody keeping scores? I feel like we've got our producers just panicking over there that we're being told to... Okay, somebody's keeping scores. Good. Oh, my God. It's good to be alive. Fucking hell, how did we play a round that lasted 45 minutes? It's just our love of literature, really, isn't it?
It's all right, the final round's quickfire, so that goes quite well.
Okay, so Ben and Laura, you guys are up first. You have 2 minutes, and if you'd like to challenge, guys, you can, of course, challenge, and I will either allow or disallow the challenge. Your time starts now.
Lips.
Bacon.
I eat bacon with my lips.
Well,
hang on. Do you? You eat bacon with your lips, do you?
You're stuck on bacon.
Oh, God.
Listen, you know he's got no teeth. Don't take the piss out of him. Overruled.
Wow. The Labour Party.
Is that the red thing or the dead thing? That's right.
Hitler.
Oh, he was the founding member of the Labour Party.
I'm going to allow it.
Yeah. And,
a poppy.
Princess Diana.
You know, keeping it light over there, aren't we?
They're both commemorated in a nice way.
Lovely stuff.
Nice, lovely. Red. Red.
Oh, please flash the light in.
Books.
Books. Oh, nice. Thora Heard.
Oh, I wrote Thora Heard's autobiography.
Oh. What was the first line?
We haven't got time for this. That was the first line.
Nail varnish.
All of my pets.
You famously put nail varnish on your pet's claws.
That's what killed them. My heart.
Elvis.
I donated my original heart to Elvis to try and bring him back to life, but it didn't work. He's supposed to
the sun during sunset.
How have you run out of red things already, Kaki? There's a red tablecloth in front of you, for God's sake.
The planet Earth in about 40 years.
Oh. Both dying stars. No.
That's all the time we've got over for, yes.
I mean, Earth isn't a star.
It is while you're on it.
The Earth is not a star. I'm going to... I'll give you the point for that. How do they score for that round, guys? Do we know?
28.
Yes. 28?
Oh, my God. 28. Yes, please.
No idea how they managed that, but they did it. Hey. Tom and Tom, to level the playing field, I'm going to ask you to play Green Alive Remention. So it's green things, people who are alive. Your 2 minutes starts now.
Leaves.
The Queen.
The Queen loves leaves, baby.
Hang on, what Queen?
The current Queen.
She's not dead.
She's alive. Green Alive. Green Alive. That's an incorrect challenge. That's 1 point.
Yes.
To the other team.
That's how you get up to that 28. Green peppers.
John Major, our former Prime Minister.
Was Prime Minister during the time that green peppers were used in the show. Ready, steady,
lovely. Environmental policy. Emma Watson hates environmental policy. True. She uses single-use plastics all through her day.
But only once.
Yeah. How many times has she used it?
Grass.
Lenny Henry
looks out at the grass in Stratford when he's performing at the RSC. There's a lovely
during the show.
No, from his dressing room.
That's lovely. The traffic light saying go, baby, go.
Imelda Staunton.
It's great to have her on the show.
Imelda Staunton is colourblind, so refuses to stop at traffic lights.
It's a good fact.
It's not a bad fact.
It's just a strong fact. Spread it around.
An underripe tomato.
The former England cricket batsman, Kevin Peterson.
Oh, loved cheese and tomato sandwiches during tea time when he was playing cricket. Well-known fact about him.
He did. My shirt.
Oh, and the ex-leader of the Labour Party, Neil Kinnock.
Oh! Neil Kinnock's dead, isn't he?
No.
Kinnock's not dead.
He's a...
What a way to find out.
He's a European Commissioner for a long time.
He's here tonight.
Kinnock's not dead, is he?
No.
Guys, breaking news. I bought this shirt when I saw former Labour leader Neil Kinnock's son wearing it in one of his press conferences.
That's your time.
Oh, let me finish.
Okay. Let you finish.
Where he was advocating just how alive his father was.
Very important speech, that. Very powerful speech.
Producer Emma, how did they do at the end of that?
If we're allowing that last one, 29.
Wow. 29! Okay, all right. Well, speaking of red and dead, grab your tenderising hammers. It's time to give the justice system a right good wallop. It's Beef Brothers! Woo! Where each week we ask our panelists to sort out our flatshare-based beef by talking fast. And tonight's one comes from Matt, who is in the audience. Matt, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Matt. Matt writes...
Pick up the pace, Matt. No, I'm joking.
My flatmate left a dead pigeon on his windowsill for 3 weeks. Okay. Now, Ben and Laura, you are on Matt's side. Tom and Tom...
Of course we are.
You're fucking right we are.
Tom and Tom, you are on the side of the flatmate. Now, does the flatmate have a name?
He does. It's Will.
It's Will.
Right
and
there.
Is Will here?
He is.
Will. He's here. Fantastic. Will is here. Okay. So,
great.
Tom and Tom, you are on Will's side. Matt, you are being supported by Laura and Ben. Time for a cross-examination. I mean, there isn't, but there's time for a cross-examination. Any questions for either Matt? We'll start with Matt, and then we'll move on to Will.
It's on the windowsill. Yep. Inside or out?
Outside.
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 It's not a murder investigation.
But you know, if it was, Sebastian Rudd.
Was it a pigeon that you knew? Or?
Not personally.
No. Not a friend of the fam?
Could be. Well, he's dead now, so no.
Okay. Any questions from Tom and Tom?
Well... It's very fitting that someone who respects the dead is called Will. And he was just...
That is conjecture now. Have you got any questions for Tom, for Matt or for Will?
Matt, do you hate animals?
No.
You don't think they're equal to human beings?
No.
Do you have contempt for our winged brothers and sisters?
No.
Do you think animals and humans are equal?
Yes.
And yet you think it's ridiculous that this man... would honour the memory of a pigeon by...
That is, again, that is... That
I'm
is
just asking some questions.
You're not asking questions.
Just asking some questions.
Tom, you've got to take your nan off the windowsill, mate. It's not honouring a memory.
It's what she wanted. Until that will gets written. Write your will. She's still alive. Write your will or she's not coming in.
T-Fash, you got any questions for Matt or Will?
Will, you left the pigeon out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, I love how brave it is. Yeah, what it makes with it.
Yeah.
You love animals.
Yeah.
Will, when you say yes, don't shake your head. Just a little tip for when you're in court, all right?
Have you ever killed an animal?
No.
Have you ever eaten an animal?
Definitely.
Have you eaten a pigeon?
Yes. Not that one.
No one said that one, mate. Very quick to be like, not that one.
Okay.
I think that is enough. Hopefully that's enough information for our teams to make their cases.
Oh, can I ask? I've got a question.
You've got one more question, of course, Tom.
Did everyone just hear me burp?
Yes.
Right, okay, so that's not the question. That's not the question.
That's not how you get people's attention.
Okay, sorry. I'm excited about my question. What happened after 3 weeks?
I pried it off the windowsill with a pencil.
With a pencil?
Was it downstairs or an upstairs window?
Third floor flat.
Did you pry it into the street below?
A garden.
The garden.
Our garden.
Is it true that you have always been worried about the rat problem in your area and you thought, like, throwing a pigeon off the windowsill like that would just be like, you know, a buffet for them?
Exactly. For the rats. It's for the environment.
Yes.
The
environment. It decomposes. It puts nutrients back into the sill. The nutrients go into the sill. The sill will then grow. Plants.
Again, this
circle
is,
of life.
This is conjecture. We're
going to
begin. I think that's enough. We can see the red light, guys.
The red light's back.
I don't know what else to do. So that is enough information for our teams to make their cases. Without further ado, I call upon Laura Lex to begin her case for the prosecution. You have 2 seconds.
Right. So last year, a pigeon flew into my water butt on my allotment and died, and I couldn't sort it out quick enough, and it was the heat wave, and so I basically slow broiled it for a few weeks. And then 3 weeks later, some pigeon parents moved onto my balcony, and I felt so guilty about their dead family member that I let them breed on the balcony. A year later, I'm up to my knees in pigeon shit. Because they live there now. That's their territory. So you have brought down a pigeon curse on your housemate, because all the pigeons flying by will be like, oh, what's this? A warning to all the other pigeons in the area. We need to club together and get this house. And before you know it, you'll go home tonight and you won't live there anymore. It'll just be pigeons. And they're not house friendly. They don't buff taps. And you will have to move out, and it'll be your fault, Will.
Thank you very much, Laura Lex. Tifash, your minute begins now.
We've all done it. You've killed something. You don't know what to do with it. You don't want to keep it in the house. You put it on your windowsill. Same reason people do it with geraniums. When they're dead, you have to put them on the windowsill. It's a totally legitimate thing that Will has done here. The pigeon is dead. He doesn't have the implements to deal with it. He knows if he tosses it into the garden below, it will be nommed on by rats who will tell their ratty friends who will bring the plague. He has no... Oh, am I doing this right?
Yes, lovely.
He has no alternative. What is he supposed to do? Bring the dead rat into his room? Swallow it? I mean, dead pigeon, I mean. Burn it on his own stove?
10 seconds, please.
Throw it in the food composting waste? No. You leave it there to dry like a raisin, a pigeon raisin, in the sun. And then when the time is right, when the good Lord determines, you get your HB... And you jam it. You jam it into the below.
Top out, everybody.
You jam it into the below.
Jam into the below. I'd normally ask how you think it's going so far. We simply don't have time. Ben, you have a minute to begin or to conclude the case for the prosecution. Your time begins now.
It's very simple, guys. What separates us from the animals? It's burial. Animals don't bury themselves or each other. Pigeons can't.
Moles
because of their wings. What?
Moles do.
Moles do.
Well, that's it, Ben.
Caterpillars, moles.
I bet ants do.
Ants.
Oh, my
badgers.
My case is falling apart here.
Badgering the witness.
Badgering the witness. Very good.
Very strong.
Very, 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 very good.
That's 38 points to the audience.
Dolphins do sea burials.
Clarky, carry on, mate. You've still got 20 seconds.
Oh, basically, Will exhibits all the traits of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Clearly, he loves death. He wants to keep it close. I think he should be locked out of the house on a windowsill. I think he's committed a sin and he should, from now on, be called Sindo Will.
I didn't mind that at all. It says more about me than it does about
the
joke. So, finally, Tom, are you going to be doing this as yourself?
No, I'm going to be doing it in the style of a John Grisham Deep South Defence rogue lawyer who goes by the name of Fanshawe Standard.
Fanshawe Standard, presiding and providing.
Here.
Your minute, should you need it, begins now.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Oh, sorry, I'm late getting here. Had a hearty lunch there. Had to meet up with my nephew, Sebastian. He'll be doing work experience with me next week. Hell, quick story now. Red light, sun setting, right time for a story. We say, hell, I'm just getting warmed up. It's not going off this time. Just stay on. Well, there probably ain't time for it, but I was going to tell you the story of a man who went by the name of Tony. You probably remember him now. Had a little pony. That pony died, and he put it on his shoulders for 4 years. You remember that? Remember that? Now, looking back now, he had his issues, things were going on. No man should carry a pony on his shoulders for 4 years. That was Tony. Hell. People need stories in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen. Mythology, history, people with ponies on their shoulders. Look in the mirror tonight when you get home and say something to yourself. You the kind of person that puts a pony in the ground? Or are you the kind of person who wears it around? No further questions, Your Honor.
Fanshawe standing there. Now, I can't adjudicate Beef Brothers myself because we don't have the time. So instead, I'm handing that responsibility to our underbelly audience. So if you think Laura and Ben and therefore Matt is in the right, I'd like you to applaud now. But if you think Tom And our very own rogue lawyer, Fanshawe Standen, made the best case, and you think Will is in the right with the dead pigeon on the windowsill. I'd like you to applaud now. I'm sorry, Max. The mob has spoken. Now, what we're going to do now is we're not going to do the quickfire round jingle, obviously. Because, I mean, I tell you what, do you want to all just give us the money that we're clearly going to be fined? Oh, okay. No, we'll put it in the podcast. So this is for our listeners at home. But the joke this week is it goes on for a long time.
This is the quick fire round. It's the round that goes really quickly, which is why it's quite unusual that it has a long introduction.
Ooh, it takes a while.
It has a long introduction that just keeps going on. This introduction, it's taken up quite a long time of our life. When you look back down the years, it eats into our days, it eats into our afternoons. Me and Clarky sat here just recording quite a long introduction.
Ooh, this is our life.
It's a long introduction. In fact, before we pressed play, I genuinely got a wave of emotion about the last time that we played golf. It was about 2 years ago. Me and Clarky used to play golf all the time. We were really good at golf.
Ooh, that's not true.
We were really bad at golf. Clarky was really, really bad. But we don't play anymore. Instead, we sing this intro. And you guys listen and think back to other things you used to do. You used to play table tennis.
Ooh, it's like tennis but smaller.
You used to knit hats for your friends down the park. But this day and age, we don't do things anymore. We just sit and listen to this really long, long introduction.
Ooh, it's a sad state of affairs.
Which is why we're going to change that now. We're going to be like, why don't you? Do you remember that? Switch off your TV set and do something less boring instead. Stop listening to this intro.
Why don't you stop?
Pick up your golf clubs and use those golf clubs to knit a hat. Smash your podcast player. Rip off your headphones and run to the park. And then realize the park is scary. Get back home and listen to our quick fire round.
Imagine you just heard the quick fire round jingle.
Hang on. It never ever gets that reaction. People will definitely know that's been faked.
They'll spot that a mile away. In this quickfire round, we let you give each answer as if you're a lumberjack felling a tree. So if I said, Frank Sinatra is a famous what, I'd like you to shout, Singer! And then make the noise of a tree falling down. Instead of buzzers, I'd like you to shout your first name. So Ben and Laura, let's hear that now. Ben.
Laura.
Thank you. Tom and Tom.
Tom. Which one's which?
We'll never know.
Would you like me to call myself T-Fash?
Yes, please. Okay. Do you want me to call me T-Paz?
T-Fash! Okay, our quickfire round begins now. What is the name of the young cub who just can't wait to be Lion King?
Ben!
Ben!
Simba!
Is correct. Which dating app apparently gets 1.6 billion swipes?
Laura. T-Fash.
Laura.
Tinder!
Tinder is correct. According to Game of Thrones, what is coming?
Ben! Winter!
No, it's actually watching me when I watch the nudity. Yes, the correct answer is of course Winter. Complete the names of the Spice Girls: Baby, Sporty, Scary,
Laura.
Ginger. Which Big Brother contestant was famous for pleasuring herself with a bottle?
Laura? Kinga!
It is Kinga!
Big fan in.
Last name.
Is she in? Is she doing it right now?
Last name Gates. Give me the first name of the former general manager of Microsoft.
T-Fash. Microsoft?
Yes. Former general manager of Microsoft. Surname Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates.
It's his wife, Melinda, obviously.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, you bloody sexist. Oh, you sexist. Absolute sexist, you all are. Oh, what, a woman can't have a job like that? Oh, you disgusting.
Who knows about Melinda Gates?
Exactly. History's written her out.
The general manager as well.
Former general manager. She got, you know, very good. This song was a 1993 hit for the Cranberries.
Tom, T-Fash.
T-Fash.
You have to let it linger.
What position did David Ginola play?
Laura.
David Ginola, yes.
Footballer!
I'll give you half a point. What position did he play?
T-Fash.
T-Fash.
Defender!
Laura.
Winger is correct.
It's close. It's a good guess.
Who was the martial arts rat who tutored the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Laura. Tom.
Oh yeah.
Laura, I think, was just faster.
Splinter.
One of the birds of a feather. Last name Robson. First name
T-Fash.
T-Fash.
Linda.
And finally, complete this T.S. Eliot quote: not with a bang, but with a
Tom whimper.
And that is exactly how we're ending this round. So before we find out the final scores, Laura and Tom are both fantastic comedians. Do go and see them. If you ever see them coming to your town, do go and see them. They're both fantastic. Producer Emma, let's find out what the final scores are. Okay.
Well, one team has 36.
Yes.
The other 36 and a half.
Oh!
Wow!
Whoa!
But it doesn't matter because the audience got 38.
Oh, that's true! Put us out of our misery, though. Tell us who got the highest score, though.
The half went to Laura and Ben.
So Tom and Tom get to drop the words with Laura and Ben while the audience get to see mine in the sauna. Thanks to our guests, Laura, Lex and Tom Allen. We've been Pappies. See you next time on Pappies Just Stand Down. Pappies Just Stand Down feature Matthew Crosby, Ben Clark and Tom Perry, special guests Laura, Lex and Tom Allen. It was advised by Pappies and Ben Walker, produced by Evercaution, the British Davis, edited by Evercaution. Big thanks to everybody who came down to the recording, to Rebecca Austin, everyone at the Underbody for having us. To Ollie Double, who's putting the book in spot and getting the joke inspired one of the games today. Pappies Just Stand Down, the singer who's brought you back in Casalinte. Cheers everyone, bye. Thank you to We are so sorry. Thank you so much. And it's Clarky's birthday, everybody. It's Clarky's birthday.
Please be upstanding for...
Or sitting, if that's your fashion.
Or lying down, if you prefer.
Please take a knee.
If you wish.
If you wish.
But no rules here.
No rules.
And no judgment.
The rules
no
are...
No rules.
There are no rules.
No judgment.
And also, the first rule isn't a rule, because there are none of them.
The first rule is it's a rule that's meant to be broken.
Yeah. Some rules. There are some rules.
Anyway, you get
anyway,
the gist.
Anyway, guys, you get the gist.
It is the Neighbourhood Watch.
Neighbourhood Watch.
Roll call. He's the opposite of thick. It's Phil Tredinick.
He's skulking around in the dark.
What?
It's Mark.
Ooh. I used to go to school with a guy called Peter Sharrington. And I'll tell that anecdote the next time I meet David Carrington.
Guys, please don't give her any flack. It's Carolyn Black. He truly is.
He's baiting himself into a corner.
I've baited myself into a corner. But let's see. I mean, he truly is. Just start the sentence, the rhyme will come. He truly is my wonderful,
It
didn't come at all.
Clarky,
that was terrible advice.
I think I've slagged you off one too many times. That's come back to haunt me there. I truly am. Okay, well, I've done it again. That's no better to say I truly
am. It's still true. You are, though. You can't deny it.
I truly, guys.
Listeners, you can't deny it. He truly is.
Can I just say? I truly am.
He truly is, guys.
Let's be truthful for a second.
And listen, all those reviews that come in that say he isn't, let's stop those, okay? Because he truly is.
Truly is. He truly is. Waiting through my fishing pond.
Oh dear. You've got a pond that you fish in.
The wheels have come off, guys. It's James Diamond.
James Diamond. He truly is in that fishing pond.
He truly is. He truly is, and I truly am as well. And I'll tell that anecdote the next time I see David Carrington.
Listen. I used to go to school, as you well know, with Peter Sharrington. I cannot stress that enough. The evidence is there. Go back to the school. If you look at the school records, Sharrington is definitely there.
He's in full effect.
Oh, yes.
Can I just say, he truly is.
He truly is Peter Sharrington. And if you don't believe me, then ask Sam Allen. Do you know, I tried to tell that story.
Oh, yeah.
To my friend. And he simply wouldn't be told.
No.
Oh, no.
Who was that friend?
Who was that Peter Sherrington?
That is classic John Mould.
Oh, vintage.
He truly is.
He truly is.
He truly is.
Please be honest, guys.
He truly
Please
is.
Please be truly.
Something of a sticky wicket.
Back. Crosby's back on form.
He's John Cricket.
Now, I don't mind telling you guys, back in the good old school days,
oh yeah,
I'd often do
back with Shazza.
Physical education
yeah.
with my good friend, Peter Sharrington.
Shazza!
Oh, P. Shaz, a mean badminton player. And after we'd been playing, to the showers we would go.
And Shazza
in the shower. And I don't mind telling you, we'd happily share a soap. Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you who wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Not for love nor money.
Who's this?
Hanging on to their bloody shower gel. Like there's no tomorrow.
You've gone quite far away from that rhyme, haven't you?
It's Adam Hope.
Share a soap.
Share a soap.
Share a soap, Adam. Come on, for goodness sake. Now.
Oh, no. What is it?
Truly. He truly is. And she truly is best, mate.
She truly doesn't give it away for free. It's Catherine McGee. That's what Sharrington told me. He said at the prom.
At the prom.
McGee was there.
McGee was there.
Not giving it away for free.
I tell you, it was at the prom.
Oh yeah.
Oh. And he was messing around.
What?
Yes. He was playing the fool.
No.
If I had to sum it up in a word.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say it was Larkin.
Oh. No.
It was Peter Sharrington.
He's a classic guy.
Peter Sharrington. It was Peter Sharrington. But stood next to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was Jim Parkin.
Oh.
Straight to 180. Straight as a die. Loved him.
Always in his shadow.
Always in the shadow of Sharrington.
That concludes this week's. We've been told that concludes this week's Patreon. I mean, we were enjoying ourselves, but apparently you weren't. So here we go. That's the end of this week's Patreon Watch.
Neighborhood Watch.
Show me the money.
Show me the Sharrington.
Roll call!
Just off the record.
Yeah, come on.
Has Sharrington donated?
He's not into it. He said podcasts aren't his thing.
Classic Sharrington.
He likes blogs.
He likes blogs. You got to pick a side, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.